们达恰卡瓦列苏阿特拉嘎强都迪瓦达萨达曼穆尼拉迦萨苏南都萨嘎摩卡当达玛萨瓦那卡罗阿扬巴丹达达玛萨瓦那卡罗阿扬巴丹达达玛萨瓦那卡罗阿扬巴丹达，南无达萨帕卡瓦图阿拉哈图萨玛萨布达萨，南无达萨帕卡瓦图阿拉哈图萨玛萨布达萨。南无达萨帕卡瓦图阿拉哈图萨玛萨布达萨。Today, I would like to continue my talk, and hopefully, I can finish it today. If I finish it today, we can have discussion today. Otherwise, tomorrow I have to give two talks. Okay? We have finished the edible food as one of the nutriments. Now we come to the second nutriment, which is contact or sense impression. And how bhikkhus should the nutriment contact be seen or be comprehended? Suppose there is a flay cow. Flay cow means a cow without skin. If she stands exposed to a wall, the creatures dwelling in the wall would nibble at her. If she stands exposed to a tree, the creatures dwelling in the tree would nibble at her. If she stands exposed to water, the creatures dwelling in the water would nibble at her. If she stands exposed to the open air, the creatures dwelling in the open air would nibble at her. Whatever that flay cow stands exposed to, the creatures dwelling there would nibble at her. So try to imagine that the miserable state of that flay cow. Okay? It's in such a way, bhikkhus, that I say the nutriment contact should be comprehended. So Buddha compare sense impression or contact like a flay cow. Wherever she stand, the creature would bite her. What is this contact? We have six types of contact: eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. What is the meaning? What is this contact? In Sutta, Buddha give the explanation. The coming together, for example, what is eye contact? The coming together of eye sensitivity, eye consciousness, and the visual object is called eye contact. So from here, you can understand what is the meaning of ear contact. The coming together of ear sensitivity and ear consciousness and the sound. The coming together of these three is called ear contact. Similarly, body, nose, tongue and body, let us say body. The coming together of body sensitivity, the body sensitivity is spread all over the body. Body sensitivity, body consciousness and the tangible. What's tangible? Tangible including earth element, fire element, and wind element. Exclude water element. So this earth element, fire and wind elements are called tangible object that can be touched by body sensitivity. Okay, and a mind object. When you think of something, imagine something, recall your memory, and so on. All these are called mind contact. So Buddha compared this contact. Six contact are like flay cow. In our daily life, the moment we wake up, our six sense object, six sense basis, eyes, nose, tongue, body, and mind are exposed to external contact, right? I always see something. Ear is open all the time, can hear something. And nose is also open all the time, can smell something. Tongue is also tongue, only when the food touch. Otherwise, usually no taste, cannot feel the taste. But body is always exposed to tangible object. Just like now, when you are sitting on the cushion, you feel the hardness or softness of the cushion. So the body contact is always there. And the mind, worse, always think of something. Never end, never stop. So in our daily life, our six contacts are always open for the impingement of six external sense objects of visible, sound, smell, taste, tangible, and mental object. And try to imagine, if you don't have mindfulness and clear comprehension, and the eyes will chase after agreeable, delightful object. The sound chase after agreeable and delightful sound. The smell always want to smell fragrance. And the taste, the tongue always want to taste delicious food. And the body always want to have pleasant, agreeable touch. And the mind always want to think something. Or even you don't want to think something, that something can come to your mind to disturb you. So under such a situation, where is the happiness? Where is the happiness? So under such situation, which we have no control over the contact, we have no control over the six contact, isn't that our situation is also like a flay cow? Wherever I stand, wherever we stand, the creature will bite us. Similarly, as long as we are awake, our situation, our six sense bases are open to the impingement of six external objects. And when there's no mindfulness and clear comprehension, we are also being bitten, like flay cow, being nibbled, being bitten by what? By defilements. By all the greed, hatred, delusion, jealousy, and so on. Therefore, in such a way, because that I say the nutriment contact should be comprehended. That this contact is full of danger. And should be comprehended with three ways I have already shared. The three comprehension. The comprehension as known. The comprehension as investigating. And the comprehension as abandoning. And since I have explained this before, I'm not going to tell you now. You use the wisdom to connect with that three comprehension. Okay? And when the nutriment contact is fully understood or is fully comprehended. The three kinds of feeling are fully understood. What are the three kinds of feelings? Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings. And which type of feeling will arise depends on what type of contact. If that contact is pleasant, then pleasant feeling will arise. For example, when somebody praises you, the pleasant sound comes to contact with the ear sensitivity, then cause pleasant feeling to arise. So because of pleasant contact, come from pleasant sound, then pleasant feeling arises. On the other hand, if somebody abuses you, then that unpleasant sound come to contact with the ear, and because of that unpleasant contact, then unpleasant feeling arises. And if the sound is neutral, and when that neutral sound comes to contact with the ear, then neutral feeling arises. So this one example from the ear contact. From one example, you understand the six contact. Therefore, Buddha said, when the nutriment contact is fully understood, the three kinds of feelings are fully understood. How you can understand this? So when the abusive word comes to contact with the ear sensitivity, then unpleasant feeling arises automatically. Almost automatically. No one can avoid it. Then when an unpleasant feeling arises, what do you do? What do you do? Get angry? You can get angry as an ordinary person. But a practicing yogi, what should you do when an unpleasant feeling arises? You apply mindfulness and clear comprehension. How? First, you are mindful, aware of this unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. So mentally you know, unpleasant feeling has arisen in me. Unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. You see feeling as a feeling, not I, not mine, not myself. This is called wise attention. Seeing things according to the Dhamma. This is called mindfulness. However, mindfulness alone cannot lead you to enlightenment. You need to apply wisdom or clear comprehension. How to apply wisdom or clear comprehension? So after you are mindful, after you are being mindful of that pleasant feeling, that unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, then you further comprehend that unpleasant feeling as impermanent, anicca, vanishing, passing away. So you apply the one of the three common characteristics on that unpleasant feeling. Or you can discern, investigate, ask yourself where this unpleasant feeling arise. Where or why it arise? Dependent on the ear sensitivity and dependent on the ear contact. And the ear contact arises because of abusive word. That abusive word caused unpleasant unpleasant ear contact that cause unpleasant feeling to arise. So unpleasant ear contact is cause. Unpleasant feeling is an effect. You also can comprehend in this way by discerning conditionality to understand cause and effect. Unpleasant ear contact is cause, unpleasant feeling is an effect. If you can comprehend conditionality or cause and effect, then you will understand that unpleasant feeling is not an abiding self. That unpleasant feeling is not a permanent self. What is self in the Buddha's teaching? Atta. Self. Atta in the Buddha's teaching. In the Buddha's teaching, self or atta implies something you can control. But in this case, you cannot control the unpleasant feeling not to arise. You cannot control it. When that abusive word comes to contact with the ear, automatically arise unpleasant feeling. You have no control over the process. Therefore, that unpleasant feeling is non-self. You've got to reflect in this way. Otherwise, it's very difficult for you to understand non-self nature of feeling. So you listen, investigating cause and effect. Then you understand unpleasant feeling is not a self. Then you further, after you comprehend unpleasant feeling as anicca, anicca, impermanent, impermanent, then you can further comprehend it's not a self, not a self, not a self. In this way, then the unpleasant feeling is fully is comprehended. Then finally, you want to let go that attachment to the unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling. Then you can contemplate fading away, fading away for the desire of having pleasant feeling and so on. Similarly, when the pleasant sound comes to contact with the ear, because the contact is pleasant, therefore the feeling also pleasant. The feeling born of ear contact is also pleasant. So when that pleasant feeling arises in your mind, what do you do? What will you do as a yogi? As a practicing yogi? How should you contemplate? First, you apply mindfulness, aware of that pleasant feeling simply as pleasant feeling, as one of the five aggregate. Then further, you apply wisdom to contemplate that pleasant feeling as anicca, anicca, impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. After that, if you want to go further, then you discern cause and effect. This pleasant feeling arises due to pleasant ear contact. When the pleasant ear contact finished, then the pleasant feeling also will disappear, because pleasant feeling is just an effect of a cause. However, when that pleasant ear contact vanished, sometimes we still have pleasant feeling, right? For example, when somebody praise you, then you feel so pleasant. When the sound the sweet word stop, impinge your ear sensitivity, do you still have that pleasant feeling? Yes or no? Yes. In the ultimate truth, the pleasant feeling should stop. Because pleasant feeling arise due to pleasant ear contact. Now ear contact stop. Why that pleasant feeling not stop? Why? Because when that pleasant feeling arises in your mind, you do not comprehend. You immediately grasp that pleasant feeling as I, myself. So when you grasp that pleasant feeling as I, myself, even though the pleasant ear contact has gone, but in your mind still think that pleasant feeling as I, myself, therefore it is permanent. So you live in illusion. You live in illusion, you yourself created. So we are not living in reality. We always live in the things we want, not the thing as they really are. And to a point, when that pleasant feeling passes away one day, then you feel sorry, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, despair, and so on. Therefore, Buddha said, when a nutriment contact is fully understood, the three kinds of feeling are fully understood. So when there's six contact, each contact has three types of feeling. Eye contact, when you see your beloved son, beloved one, you have pleasant eye contact. Then you have pleasant feeling. When your eye sees your enemy, when your eyes see enemy, then you have unpleasant eye contact, therefore unpleasant feeling. When you see the neutral person, you have neutral feeling. So each contact has three types of feelings. We have six contact, therefore we have 18 types of feelings. And if you can contemplate this feeling fully, Buddha said, when the three kinds of feeling, Buddha said three kinds of feeling, refer to one contact only. Since we have six contact, so we have 18 types. When the three kinds of feelings are fully understood, I say, there is nothing further that a noble disciple needs to do. When you fully understand these three types of feeling, you can attain arahantship. That's what Buddha meant. And Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Sariputta become arahant when he contemplate this feeling. One day, when Venerable Sariputta stood behind the Lord Buddha, fanning him. And at that time, Buddha was giving a discourse to Venerable Sariputta's nephew. And Buddha gave a discourse connected with feeling, how to contemplate feeling. And Buddha said, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling are all impermanent. They are conditioned, dependently arisen, subject to vanishing, ceasing, and dissolution. And seeing thus, not only see with the eyes, experience thus. Truly experience thus, a well-taught disciple becomes disenchanted with these three types of feeling. Being disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, his mind is liberated. So when Buddha gave in this discourse, how to contemplate feeling as impermanent, conditionary arisen, dependently arisen, vanishing, subject to ceasing, and how the mind become disenchanted and become dispassionate and liberated. And at that time, Venerable Sariputta was behind the Buddha and he contemplates the feeling accordingly and become arahant. So by contemplating feeling, one Buddha say, there's nothing further that a noble disciple needs to do. He can become arahant. This is nutriment of content. Okay? Now we come to the third nutriment. And how bhikkhus should the nutriment mental volition be seen? The third nutriment is mental volition. Suppose there is a charcoal pit deeper than a man's height, filled with glowing coal, without flame or smoke. A man will come along wanting to live, not wanting to die, desiring happiness and averse to suffering. Then two strong men would grab him by both arms and drag him towards the charcoal pit. The man's volition would be to get far away. His longing would be to get far away. His wish would be to get far away from the charcoal pit. For what reason? Because he knows, I will fall into this charcoal pit, and on that account, I will meet death or deadly suffering. So try to imagine the picture first. Try to imagine the picture and try to see the suffering of that man, being grabbed by both arms and dragged to one burning charcoal pit. So he's struggling not to fall into this charcoal pit. So let me explain the simile first. What is this charcoal pit? Deeper than a man's height, filled with burning charcoal, without flame or smoke. This charcoal pit refers to the three round of three spheres of existence. What are the three spheres of existence? We have mentioned in the first talk, sense sphere existence, fine material sphere existence, and an immaterial sphere of existence. These three spheres of existence make up one universal. And when we take rebirth again and again, we are in the cycle of these three spheres of existence. We are not out of these three spheres of existence. And Buddha referred, these three spheres of existence are like a charcoal pit, burning. And a man wanting to live, not wanting to die, refer to a foolish man, a foolish worlding, putujana, a foolish worlding attached to the realm of existence, like us. We are the foolish one. We always attach to realm of existence. We want to reborn again and again. So we are the foolish one. And who are the two strong men who grab him by both arms and drag him toward the charcoal pit? Who are the two strong men? These two strong men are our wholesome and unwholesome karma, our good or bad karma we have performed so far in the realm of existence. So the karma we have performed in the realm of existence, not necessarily this lifetime. It can be from the past life. So this good or bad karma grabs us toward the charcoal pit. The bad karma sends us to four woeful states. The good karma, sensual karma, the sensual wholesome karma sends us to sense sphere plane. And the jhana karma, in case we attain jhana. Fine material karma sends us to fine material sphere of existence and so on. Okay? But this man doesn't want to fall into this charcoal pit. So he will try not to get close to charcoal pit. For what reason? Because he knows, I will fall into this charcoal pit, and on that account, I will meet death or deadly suffering. As long as we are still in the realm of existence, the suffering will follow us. The suffering come from where? Come from the resultant karma. Because we have performed abundance of bad karma as well as good karma. So in the realm of existence, all this karma are waiting to emerge. Waiting to emerge and ripen. When this karma ripen, if it is bad karma, if bad karma ripen, we will suffer the karma, we will suffer the resultant accordingly. Therefore, in the realm of existence, inevitably, we cannot avoid to meet with the ripening of unwholesome karma. Let me give an example. In one of my students, when I was in Ohio, USA, when I first time met her, she looked so, so brilliant, in high and good spirit. After 2 years, I went to Ohio again and meet her again. This time, she looks like older, 10 years older. And she looked 10 years older like I met her before. All her hair turned to gray. And the face, the brilliant face, lose all the brightness. I was so shocked. Then she told me her story. She said that her only son, 1 month ago, he fly to California, Golden Bridge. There's one Golden Bridge in California. So my son fly there and jump from the Golden Bridge and die. This is a story he told me. Then after 2 years, he called me again. She called me again. She said she traveled with her husband to Alaska. And her husband has, the brain block on her head and died in the journey. So within 2 years, in 2 years' time, she lost her beloved son and beloved husband. This is what I mean. In a realm of existence, inevitably we will meet with suffering of losing one's beloved one. Then there are more suffering to come, suffering from sickness, suffering from depression, suffering from not getting what you want, suffering from confusion, and so on. Another story of my friend, she was a nun. When she saw her past life, she was one of her lifetime. She was a general in command. Since she was a general in command, at that time he not she, huh? In her past life, she was a man, general in command. So as a general, of course, he had to kill many people. Huh? Once you go to war, you order kill, then your soldiers start to kill because of your command. And after some time, he get very bored of killing people. So one day, he went out to the village, and he saw so many village girls plucking flowers, walking in the street. And he saw, why all this village women, village girl are so happy? I don't have that type of happiness. He told to himself, although I am a general in command, but compared with this all these villagers, women, I don't have their happiness. And because of that, he inclined his her mind to become a village woman next life. So before he passed away, but he is very hard to call. He take care of his mother, his elderly mother, very much. So before he passed away, he asked his wife to take care of his mother. Then he passed away. Through his act of killing so many people as a general in command, he should be reborn in the hell. He should be reborn in hell. However, before he passed away, he generated a wholesome thought of taking care of my mother, which is good volition, good mental volition. And because of that last thought, during dying moment, he has that wholesome thought. Therefore, he did not fall into hell in his next life. Instead, he was reborn as a village woman as he desired. So he became a village woman, born in village and become woman. And in that lifetime, she fell in love in a poor man in the same village. However, her mother want her to marry with rich man, not a poor man. So her mother blocked her to associate with that poor guy. And humiliated her in many ways. And finally, this poor village woman cannot take that humiliation. And she committed suicide. And when she committed suicide, at a time when a person commits suicide, do you think she or he has good thought or bad thought? Bad thought, aversion, anger, right? So at a time when she committed suicide with the anger because of her mother humiliated her. So when a mind is full of anger, then our bad karma done. Our karma done. Our bad karma done in the past. Now, had the opportunity to ripen. So because she killed her committed suicide with aversion, then her bad karma done in the past as a general in command, now ready to ripen. And she was cast to hell. She was reborn in hell, suffered for million lifetimes. So this is the resultant from our past karma. As long as we still in a realm of existence, that our bad karma, including good karma, but we do not know which one will ripen first. Okay? So our bad or good karma are always waiting to ripen and inflict suffering on us as long as we're still in the round of rebirth, as long as we're still in the round of samsara. Therefore, this man, he is struggling, don't want to get close to the charcoal pit. That charcoal pit is round of samsara, because he knows if he get close or fall into this charcoal pit, and on that account, he will meet death, or deadly suffering come from the resultant from our past karma. Okay, is it clear? Okay. So, it is in such a way, bhikkhu, that I say the nutriment mental volition should be seen, should be comprehended, should be comprehended in three ways. The investigation of known, comprehension as the known, comprehension as investigating, and comprehension as the abandoning. When the nutriment mental volition is fully understood, the three kinds of craving are fully understood. Why? Why is it said that when the nutriment mental volition means karma, mental formation, is fully understood, the three kinds of craving are fully understood? Because all this mental volition has its root in craving. You perform something good or something bad, all are rooted in craving. Without craving, the action you perform cannot be called as karma. When it's called karma, then it carries the meaning that it will produce its result. For Arahant also preach the Dhamma, which is good karma, but we don't call it karma, because Arahant has uprooted all the craving. So his action of preaching the Buddha's teaching is called functional, not called karma. Kiriya, functional, not called karma, because his action cannot produce any result. Why his action cannot produce result? Because he has uprooted all craving. Therefore, for the foolish person like us, all our mental volition has craving as root. Has craving as the root. Therefore, when you understand mental volition, then the three kinds of craving are fully understood. All karma, all mental volition are pushed by these three types of craving. What are the three types of craving? First one, craving for sensual pleasures. We live in a sensual world. Therefore, we crave for sensual pleasures. And the sensual pleasures come from eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. So all the whole of our life, we chase after sensual pleasures to the sixth sense contact. This is called craving for sensual pleasures. The second one, craving for existence. We don't want to die, right? Why we don't want to die? Because we crave for existence. We want to live again and again, again and again. This is called craving for existence. The third one, craving for non-existent. Craving for non-existent is annihilation view. It's a type of wrong view, thinking that after death, nothing exists. So craving for existent is a type of wrong view associated with annihilation view. For craving for non-existent is not common in Buddhist in Buddhist world, because we as a Buddhist, we understand there is karma. When there's karma, there's reborn, rebirth. So we don't believe in annihilation view. However, we believe in eternality view, eternalism. We thought, today we perform the karma, then when this karma ripens, I will be reborn as human again. I will be reborn as Deva again. We think in the next life, when we are reborn as Deva, that Deva is same as I now. This is called eternalism. You think it's the same person, same soul, wandering around the round of rebirth. Most of the Buddhists have this type of wrong view. We call wrong view of eternalism. So long you cannot perceive anatta, so long you cannot discern cause and effect, so long you cannot discern conditionality, then this wrong view cannot be eradicated. Okay? I'm so sorry because I don't have time. Otherwise, I can elaborate more and more. Okay, so when a new treatment, mental volition is fully understood, the three kinds of craving are fully understood. Because mental volition has its root in craving. And if the cause, the craving is the cause. If the cause is not abandoned, the result, mental volition as a result, cannot be abandoned. And then the three kinds of craving are fully understood, I say, there's nothing further that a noble disciple needs to do. So when he fully understands three kinds of feeling, he will attain arahantship. When he attains arahantship, then there's nothing further for arahant needs to do. Okay? So this is the third nutriment, mental volition. Should we stop for a while? I think it's a very difficult subject for you to digest. Should we stop for a while? I want to finish it today. You take a break, okay? Okay, so we have discussed three types of nutriment. First as edible food, second contact, number third is mental volition. Now we come to the last one, consciousness. Okay, and how bhikkhus should the nutriment consciousness be seen or comprehended? Suppose they were to arrest a bandit, a criminal, and bring him before the king, saying, "Sir, this man is a bandit, a robber, a criminal. Impose on him whatever punishment you wish." The king says to them, "Go, men. In the morning, strike this man with 100 spears. In the morning, they strike him with 100 spears. Then at noon, the king asks, "Man, how is that man?" "He is still alive, sir." "Then go and at noon strike him with 100 spears again." At noon, they strike him with 100 spears. Then in the evening, the king asks, "Man, how is that man?" "He is still alive, sir." "Then go in the evening, strike him with 100 spears. In the evening, they strike him with 100 spears. What do you think, bhikkhus? Would that man, being struck with 300 spears, experience pain and displeasure on that account?" "Venerable sir, even if he were struck with one spear, he would experience pain and displeasure on that account, not to speak of 300 spears. It is in such a way, bhikkhus, that I say the nutriment consciousness should be seen. When the nutriment consciousness is fully understood or comprehended, name and form, nama rupa, name and form is fully understood. When name and form is fully understood, I say, there is nothing further that a noble disciple needs to do. So Buddha compared the nutriment consciousness like being struck by 300 spears, full of agony, full of suffering, full of stress. So according to commentary, this consciousness refers to rebirth consciousness. Because that when there's rebirth consciousness, then name and form, nama rupa, mind and body, mind and matter arise because of rebirth consciousness. So when mind and matter arise, then according to dependent origination, because of mind and matter, then there's six sense object. Because of six sense object, there's contact. Because there's contact, there's feeling. Because there's feeling, there is craving. Because there's craving, there is clinging. Because of clinging, there is birth. And because of birth, aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, and despair. Thus arise the whole mess of suffering we recite early in the morning, right? So because of consciousness, rebirth consciousness, all suffering follows. Therefore, Buddha compared this consciousness like being struck by 300 spears. But this is the view of commentary. I feel that this view is a little bit narrow. Consciousness, I would like to give my point of view, which I think is including, apart from rebirth consciousness, it also includes six types of consciousness. So we have six types of consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. So early in the morning, when you get up from bed early in the morning before noon, your six sense spaces are open for the impingement of six external objects, which I have mentioned in the contact, nutriment of contact already, right? So when your six sense bases are open for the impingement of six sense object, then the six types of consciousness are there. Of course, they cannot happen concurrently. They happen one after another. For example, eye consciousness, then ear consciousness, nose, tongue, not one by one. For example, when the eye come to contact with pleasant or agreeable object, then eye consciousness arises and delight in that visible object, cause the craving to arise and delighting in that visible object, right? So there is craving there. There's a desire, greed there. Similarly, when your ear consciousness arise, when hearing the pleasant sound, ear consciousness arises and delighting in that sound. Craving arise, or some, if it's abusive word, then unpleasant feeling, even anger, aversion arises. So this sense contact, six contact cause six consciousness to arise. And this six, because of arising of six consciousness, then aversion follow, sometimes greed follow, sometimes jealousy, sometimes cruelty, sometimes competition, sometimes all types of defilements arise morning before noon. So every time when this one type of consciousness, either ear or nose or tongue, this one type of consciousness arise followed by aversion or followed by attachment, then you are being struck by one spear. Then another time, another 5 minutes, you hear something unpleasant, then aversion arise, you are being struck by another spear again. Then when eating time, breakfast time, you are not mindful, when the taste come to contact with your tongue sensitivity, tongue consciousness arise, then delighting in that food, then you are struck by another spear again. So only eating, you can be struck by 10 spears, not only one. Maybe 10 craving, not only one craving, if you can discern carefully. 10 is very little. I think 20, 30. 30 types of attachment craving on the tongue. So one breakfast, you have been struck by the spears 30 times. Then eyes, maybe 10 times. Nose, 5 times. Ear, 20 times. So before noon, already 100 spears, right? Correct or not? And still not die yet. Not die yet. So noon time, from noon to evening, still your sixth sense bases are open. Open for the impingement of the sixth sense object, not dealing with your boss, with your staff, a lot of anger, resentment, a lot of greed, stress. Then you are struck by the spears again, another 100 times. From the noon up to evening, another 100 spears, and not die yet. So evening before, from the evening until you fall asleep, maybe in the evening tired already, switch on TV, movie, delight when the actor and actress cry there, you also cry. When they laugh, you also laugh. When they get angry, you also get angry. So all the anger, attachment, emotion, all arise while watching that movie. Maybe 500 spears at a time. Your mind is struck by 500 spears. And before sleep, you think of something, what I have done wrong today, remorse, another spears. Or you think of future, what I'm going to do, seems no hope, worry, anxiety, another spears. So until you fall asleep, 100 spear again. From evening up to you fall asleep, another 100 spear. And not die yet. Tomorrow again. Tomorrow morning, get up again, 100 spears. Afternoon, another 100 spears. Nighttime, another 100 spears. And not die again. Another day again. This is how Buddha compared consciousness as being struck by 300 spears. And Buddha asked, what do you think, Bhikkhu? Would that man being struck with 300 spears experience pain and displeasure on that account? Venerable Sir, even if he were struck with one spear, he would experience pain and displeasure on that account. Not to speak of 300 spears. For example, when you get angry over one thing, do you feel pain? No. That's even one spear make you feel miserable for the whole day. Not to speak 300 spears. This is how you should regard consciousness, being struck by 300 spears, full of agony, full of pain, full of displeasure. Only then you can get disenchanted by having consciousness. Only then you will be get once you get disenchanted, you will be mindful. you will be mindful not to be struck by the spears. Cut down one, 299. Cut down one more mindfulness, cut down another one, 298. So if you have 100 mindfulness in the day, you have cut down 100 spears. You left 200 spears, still painful. In order to reduce the pain and suffering, you raise your effort again, be more mindful, and be more comprehend, let the mind be more comprehend, comprehend the Dhamma, then you cut down another spear, now you cut down 200 spears. If you have persistent effort from early in the morning when you open your eyes up to you go to bed, if you can be mindful from the early in the morning up to the bed, I think we can save 250 spears. We cannot be mindful all the time. Only Arahant can be mindful all the time. So 500, when we are not mindful, we are struck by this spears. Comparative is still bearable. 500 with 300, compared with 300, still bearable. Therefore, if you don't want to be struck by 300 spears throughout a day, you have to apply mindfulness and clear comprehension. When you are mindful, comprehend anicca, dukkha, anatta, comprehend impermanence, suffering and non-self, then you are free from all this punishment, from being struck by the spears. It's in such a way, bhikkhus, that I say the nutriment consciousness should be comprehended. Comprehend is danger. How the consciousness being struck by the spears inflict pain on us. So you should comprehend, you should contemplate them as whatever consciousness arise, whatever refinements, craving arise, contemplate them as anicca, dukkha, anatta, as impermanent, suffering and non-self, and let it pass away. Let it go away from your mind. Then you are safe. Safe from the struck of spears. When the nutriment consciousness is fully understood, name and form is fully understood. Why is there name and form is fully understood? Because with arising of consciousness, name and form arise together. Consciousness arise, consciousness is a forerunner. With the arising of consciousness, materiality also arise. For example, when I want to walk, so there's consciousness, my consciousness. So with that conscious arising of that consciousness, my body will go forward. That consciousness will produce four elements, and that four elements has wind element as predominant factor, then the body will move forward. Therefore, with the arising of consciousness, matter is also arise. And name and form, what is this name? This name is called mental factor, refer to mental factor. Consciousness and mental factors, these are two different things. Consciousness only cognize. Eye consciousness cognize the visible object. Ear consciousness cognize the sound. But consciousness cannot attach. Only craving attach. Craving is mental factor. So with the arising of ear consciousness, with the arising of eye consciousness, then name all type of mental factors. For example, mindfulness, wisdom, craving, and so on will arise together when the consciousness arises. And the body also will react according to that type of consciousness, or according to that type of mental factors. Therefore, it is said that with arising of consciousness, name and form arise together. And when the nutriment consciousness is fully understood, name and form is fully understood. And when name and form is fully understood, I say, there's nothing further that a noble disciple needs to do. So if he understands consciousness, understand the name and form, then he has done all the tasks. He has, you will become Arahant. Then nothing further that he needs to do. So this is the nutriment of consciousness. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time. If I have enough time, I will give you in more detail. But today, this time our retreat is too short, so I cannot give in more detail. Maybe next time. Okay? So that's all for today's talk.